be in Luke chapter number 10. Following up with last week and looking at who our neighbor is. And we set this thing up. We called it Neighbor Day, but the idea wasn't to invite your next door neighbor. It was fine to, and we're glad if you did. But the idea was that we are the neighbor. In all of the story, Jesus said at the end, once the neighbor was identified, to go and do thou likewise. And so the implications are that we are to be the neighbor. It wasn't a location. It wasn't a geography lesson. It was your heart becoming the neighbor and being the neighbor as the Good Samaritan was to this man. So as we get into it this morning, if you're glad you're at church, say amen. Amen. If you're not, I hope you will be by the time it's over with. But in Luke chapter number 10, I began reading in verse number 25. And the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we talked about this for a little bit last week, and we mentioned that this was a question that is asked by many. At some point in your life, you've asked this question. Jesus is going to show him and give him an answer, but it's not going to be what he expected. He's going to show him, and many people miss this, that there's nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. But Jesus toys with him a little bit. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Jesus said, you're a lawyer. That doesn't mean he was going to stand trial or nothing like that or be in the courtroom. It literally means that he was an expert in the Mosaic law. And so Jesus is basically saying, you're asking me a question that's answered in the law. So he says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And the lawyer answered, and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Everybody look up here at me. None of us has got that part down. I need somebody to hear me. Ain't none of us got that part down. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. None of us got that down. All right? So before we go any farther about how great you are, just want you to know, we can't even handle the first part of the first sentence. Okay, now let's move on. All right? Hey, I love you, though. I love you. And God loves you. I remember D.L. Moody said it this way, it remains to be seen what one man totally sold out for God can do. Why? Because none of us got that first part. I'll move on. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, just as Jesus speaking, thou hast answered right, according to the law. Look here, according to the law. Jesus wasn't saying you got the answer. He's saying, according to the law, you've answered right. Do this. This do, and thou shalt live. This way he's saying, if you think you can do it all, then you'll get eternal life. See, the law was there for the purpose of showing us that we could not live up to the law. We could not perform the law. We needed a Savior. But this expert in the law, he ain't going to be won by Jesus telling him that he was come to die on a cross for him. So Jesus toys with him. He says, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But the lawyer, they always think they're right. He says this to him, says, willing to justify himself, he said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted. Everybody look up here. He wanted to know who he could like and who he could dislike. He wanted to know, why? Because we mean. I'm going to say that again. We are mean. And we fine with loving who Jesus says love as long as we can hate who we want to hate. I need somebody. Y'all better, don't be getting quiet on me. Don't be acting like you're all Jesus-proofing up in there. I'm righteous. I love everybody. Liar! It won't take me about 10 minutes and we'll discover that thorn in the flesh that has a name and a face to it. I'll move on from that. We got to go. And he says to him, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus answered the man. He said, there was a certain man in verse number 30 that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. We were introduced to this man last week. We were told that he was making the trip from Jericho, or from Jerusalem rather, to Jericho, down 3,000 feet some. And the Bible says he fell among thieves. The Bible tells us that these thieves stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. We talked about the thieves last week. We're going to talk about them more today. But there's things in this world that come against us and beat us down, steal from us, wound us, leave us laying on the side of the road in a ditch. And here's what the world has to offer. The Bible says in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Oh, surely he's going to help. A man of the cloth. But the Bible says that when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Hey, J. Vernon McGee said he heard somebody say that the reason he passed by on the other side was because the man had already been robbed. Is everybody all right? You ain't got to like it. I like it enough for both of us. He said the reason the priest passed by on the other side because he noticed that the man had already been robbed. There was nothing left to get from him. The Bible goes to verse number 32. And it says this, there was a Levite, likewise a Levite. Bible says that this Levite, when he came to the place, that he came and looked on him. He was a nosy Baptist. He really wasn't interested in helping nobody. He just wanted to see what went on so he could tell everybody else about it. And the Bible says he passed by on the other side. Why y'all laughing? Y'all Baptists, ain't you? The Bible says he came and he looked on him. Passed by on the other side. But the Bible tells us Jesus continues in the story and he says, but a certain Samaritan. See, Jesus is giving a parable here, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The man that had come down from Jericho to, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, that man was Adam. That man was you and I. And we fell among thieves in the garden. Adam and Eve fell amongst thieves. And they left out of that garden. They were kicked out of that garden, cursed, because they had been attacked, beaten down, and left half dead by sin in the garden. But the good Samaritan in our story, the Bible says, as he journeyed, came to where he was. I need somebody to hear me right here. Jesus left the portals of glory to come down here. He traveled to where we were. The Bible says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's me, that's you. And he went to him. The Bible says he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which of these, or which now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. As already mentioned, this parable Jesus is giving is an earthly story with a heavenly point. And Jesus is showing us that the law could not save man. That lawyer, as Jesus was giving that story and the priest would come, there's no doubt that lawyer was excited because this was God's man. This was a man that performed the ceremonies of the law, and if anybody would show mercy, it would be this representative of religion. And yet, he passed by on the other side. Why? Because he was unable to help him. The Levite, one that ministered in the temple, one that ministered back in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, one that knew the law, he knew every procedure when it came to sacrifice, when it came to man's atonement with God, he was the one that could have helped. But he looked on him unable to help. And he passed by on the other side. And then a Samaritan man, one that was rejected by the Jews, one that was looked upon as if he was a half-breed, one that was hated because of his race, one that wasn't liked because he had parts of Scripture but not all of it. That's how they viewed a Samaritan. They viewed him, look at me, as an enemy. When Jesus mentioned this man, I promise you, the lawyer said, I know he ain't going to be no neighbor. He's an enemy. But yet Jesus showed that the enemy was the one that showed compassion. Everybody all right? To the lawyer, to the law, Jesus was that enemy. He was rejected by his brethren and placed on the cross. But he was the one that when he saw us in our condition, y'all better help me this morning. When he saw us in our condition, he had compassion on us. He loved us and came to this world to die for us. As we look at this morning, we want to look at this just for a few moments. I want to break down and I want to talk to you about the thief. We've seen the Samaritan, and praise the Lord, last week, man, God showed up, and Jesus walked down the aisle. It was good if you was here last week. If you didn't like it, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to go ahead and say that again. If you didn't like it, there's something wrong with you. So before we go any farther, know this, before the end of this service, you need Jesus. We're going to move on today, and we're going to look at the thieves. I want them to put up John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. You may have seen this on my Facebook page, but I posted this yesterday as God was speaking to me. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I made a comment underneath that verse on my Facebook page that said this, the devil, Satan, the thief, he wants more than he's letting you know. He wants more than he's letting you know. In other words, he's not after just taking your joy. He's not after just taking your peace. He's not after just stealing a few things from you. His intention is to kill you. His intention is to destroy you. And there's many people today that are living life as though we don't have an enemy, as though there's not a spiritual warfare going on, and we're wondering, what in the world? Why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to go through that? Because there is a battle for your soul, and Satan is doing his best to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. He has resolved. His resolve, if you keep notes, his resolve is to finish you. See, the end point ain't just to make you miserable. The end point ain't just to upset you. The end point ain't just to make you not like God a little. The end point is for you to die without Christ. The end point, what he is after, is for your life, your children, your family to be destroyed. I need a mom and a daddy to hear me this morning. Because we're playing around with sin as if it ain't no big deal. It's okay if I dabble in a little sin. Hey, it's all right. It's the way of the world. It's okay if I do this or if I do that. My kids won't pick up on it. Let me help you out with something. The whole reason I didn't want anything to do with church is because my daddy never went to church. My mama drugged me to church every time the doors was open, and I wanted to be with my dad more than I wanted to be with that church. I need a daddy to hear me this morning. God, he loves you and he wants you, but Satan is after you, and his intent is to destroy your life. Say, well, I done lived a full life. I'm ready to go and die. And yeah, but you got a youngin' that's looking up to you. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. I'm going to say something that's going to make somebody real mad right here. Satan's using you to steal, kill, and destroy your children. Hey, everybody hear me? Satan's using you to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Preacher comes out, preacher gives you the word of God, and he tells you, thus saith the Lord, and as soon as you get in the car, you steal it from your child. I wish they wouldn't, church wasn't so long, bless God. I don't know why we got to go to church so long. I don't know why a baseball game is so long either. I'm be honest with you, church is a lot more exciting than a baseball game. Amen. Is everybody all right? You're behind to go pay somebody. I need somebody to go buy a ticket, buy $750 worth of drinks and popcorn to go sit there and watch the most boring thing you ever seen in your life on a seat that ain't even cushioned and there ain't no air conditioner out there. And when one of them idiots hit the ball, you'd be standing up going, "Woo!" Is everybody all right? God comes sit on a chair by you in the AC on the cushion, love on you the whole time that you're here. Preacher running around acting stupid. Is everybody all right? Oh, I can't even. I don't even know. 30 minutes, Lord, help us. What is he doing? You steal it. God trying to do a work in your children, you steal it. Take it right out. Is everybody all right? Stay with me. His resolve, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. His relentlessness, he'll use whatever means necessary. Y'all, I need somebody to help me right here. I seen this ad. It was a news clip. And it said this. There was a grandpa that was mad because his kid got shot by somebody, by a homeowner that had an AR-15. Stay with me. Everybody look up here. I know I got your attention when I said all that. Is everybody all right? So anyhow, this kid, this grandfather, his kid breaks into somebody's house and a teenager in the house grabs an AR-15 and ends the conflict. And the grandpa's on the news saying that it ain't fair that the kid outgunned his grandson. I mean, y'all stay with me. Don't get mad at me. This ain't got nothing to do with politics. Stay with me. He said it's unfair that he had an AR-15 and my grandkids only had pistols. Everybody stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Our mentality is we think that if it's a fight, it's supposed to be fair. I need somebody to help. Hey, this ain't boxing. This ain't MMA. There ain't a set of rules. I need some parents to help me. There's not a set of rules. It's fighting for survival. I need somebody to help me. If you come after me with a knife, I'm going to shoot you in the head. It's called survival. I'm not going to be like, hold on a minute, let me get my knife out. hold on a minute. Boom. Is everybody all right? Lord, I pray that this man was saved. Where have we got the idea that everything's supposed to be a fair fight? What I'm getting at is this, Satan's not fighting fair. He's not fighting fair because you think it ought to be a fair fight. He's relentless and he's coming after you. He's coming after your family with everything he has. And it doesn't matter what you think about it. Oh, well, Jesus, Satan ain't playing fair. He's relentless. You may have gotten victory last week, and by now, by this Sunday, you already, devil done whooped you down. You need God today. You walked out of here with a hand raised. You walked out of here, thank God, yes, last week. And you come in here this morning and be like, Lord, we need you to show up today. I'm going to need somebody to help me. Has anybody else fought the devil this week? What do you mean? I thought he just left you alone after you got saved. No. He's relentless. He's relentless. And he's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. And if he can't get to you, he'll use you to get to his kids. He'll use you to get to your grandkids. I mean, he don't care. He's not in this to make you happy and make you feel good about it. Put the verse back up there, Miss Michelle, if you will. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The verse don't end there. It says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I need somebody. Y'all remember that? You remember that guy that walked down the aisle last week? In Scripture, this was him talking. He says, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. And somebody needs to hear me right here. God don't want you living a defeated life. He's come to breathe life into you and he's come to give you life more abundantly. So we see the resolve of the thief. We see the relentlessness of the thief. But we see his restraint. His restraint is that Samaritan. That good Samaritan. I need somebody to help me. Not that certain Samaritan in the story. Even though we know he is a picture of Christ, we're talking about our Samaritan. That is his restraint. That's the only thing that's going to keep Satan off. Y'all okay? That's the only thing. Hey, your little rebuke of Satan ain't going to go nowhere. I need somebody to hear me. He's way more powerful than you and I are. But there's one he can't stand against. There's one he can't stand in front of and can't stand up to. There's one that has power over him. Satan has some power, but God has all power. So that Samaritan. He came to where you and I are in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Miss Michelle, John 3, verse number 16. He comes to where we are. In Luke chapter number 10, the Bible says that good Samaritan poured in. Listen. He bandages up his wounds and he poured in oil and wine. Baptists ain't going to like this, but that wasn't grape juice. I need everybody to understand. When you get a cut, don't go in there and get you some of that, what is it called? Welch's. Say, well, it worked in the Bible. Not the same wine. See, the wine had a cleansing effect. The oil had a soothing effect. He was mending. He was repairing. He was fixing. I like it. And this is just my thoughts because most preachers won't touch this because they're scared to death to say that the wine right here was fermented. Is everybody all right? They won't even talk about it. Y'all hear me? Won't even talk about it. That's my thoughts on it. I believe that oil that was poured in, I believe in typology, it was the Holy Spirit. I believe if you go back into the Old Testament, you look in the tabernacle, there was a lampstand. That lampstand, it was fueled by oil. That oil was a representation of the Holy Spirit. I believe God in that instance poured in the Comforter. I believe in John chapter number 14 and verse number 16, this is what the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. You go and you study that word Comforter out, you can tell everybody, look, everybody, Miss Michelle, it's John chapter number 14, verse number 16, not 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father. If you study that out, that word Comforter is a capital C. The word Comforter is a capital C. When you go and you look at it, it literally means helper. Helper. And so the oil, I believe, was a typology of the Holy Spirit, a helper, if you will. I believe the wine, stay with me. Most people like to claim the wine is the Holy Spirit because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I like to take you to an upper room. I'm going to move over here. I like to take you to an upper room where Jesus said, as he handed them the wine, as he handed it to them, he said, take this and drink. This is my blood. Hey, the oil was there to comfort, to help. The wine was there to cleanse. Jesus, the Good Samaritan, he poured that wine or that blood on you and I. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18 and 19 said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Acts 20, verse number 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath, listen to me, purchased with his own blood. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, listen, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is everybody all right? Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, I need somebody to help me. It's one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all. I like it. Y'all ain't got to like it. I like it enough for both of us. I like this verse, Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This is talking about the accuser. This is talking about the thief. This is talking about John chapter number 10. That same thief was overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Go back to John chapter number 10, verse number 10, if you can, Miss Michelle. I want you to know something this morning. Satan has come against your life. There ain't no doubt in it, but I ain't no doubt in my mind, because he's come against mine. And he has tried to steal from you. Maybe he's come against your marriage. But God has come to give you life, and to give it more abundantly. And maybe he's come against your finances. He's tried to steal, kill, and destroy your finances. But God has come that you may have it more abundantly. I need somebody to help me this morning. Maybe the thief has come against your kids. But God has come to give you life and give you more abundantly. And maybe he's come against your faith this morning. Maybe he's come against your health this morning. Maybe he's come against your friends this morning. Maybe he's come against your mental health this morning. But God has come to give you life. I need somebody to hear me. God's come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. We're fixing to do something, man. The first time I seen this, y'all hear me? I'm talking about 2 hours worth of praise and worship. I mean, God was just all over this thing first time I seen it. Years ago, probably about 12 years ago or 13 years ago, I seen this. As I was preparing for this, the Lord brought this to my mind. And I want you to watch as we see God fighting for us this morning. You're going to see things come against this certain man on life's journey, coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. You're going to see it as he stands and you watch relationships come against him, money come against him. Oh, y'all ready? Y'all ain't going to like it. Social media. Peer pressure, addiction, alcohol, drugs. But at the end of it all, you're going to see the purpose of it, and that is to kill and to destroy. I want you, as you watch this, as it progresses, I want you not only to keep your eye on this certain man, but I want you to watch Jesus. I want you to know this morning. God's fighting for you just as much as the thief is trying to kill you, to destroy you, and to steal from you. God said, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. So you watch just for a few moments as those that are helping me brings it to life. Let God speak to you this morning.
You are the hope
Has been for you. I want you to know that there's a God that loves you. I want you to know, no matter where you fit in all of that, God still loves you. God's fighting for you. He's fighting for you this morning because there's a real thief. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He's after your kids. He's after your grandkids. He's relentless. He'll use any means necessary. He doesn't fight fair. You do not have the power to fight against him. But you have one working on your behalf. You have one that's fighting for you. And this morning, I need some folks that are saved. Find you a place on this altar this morning and thank God he was fighting for you when the devil was trying to kill you. He was trying to destroy you. He was trying to take everything from you. And God was fighting in the background. God was fighting for you. He was fighting for you. Wanting to give you life and give it more abundantly. That thief's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to steal. That Jesus, our good Samaritan, came to where we were. Bandaged up them wounds. Things nobody seen. Maybe they were on the inside. Nobody seen them. But he come to fix it. He come to mend it. He come to help this morning. He come to cleanse it. In this building this morning, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I want to introduce you to it. I want you to meet him. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's the only one that's ever loved me. Even when I wasn't lovable. He was the only one that loved me when I'd done everybody wrong. When I'd done him wrong. He's the only one that loved me. Friends, family, mom, dad, they walked off when I didn't do things like they thought I should, but he never one time. There was never a time he didn't love me. I want to introduce you to it. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, people are walking back to their seats, and that's fine. Hey, listen here. If you get to the place I was, you don't care what everybody else is doing. September 28, 1997, I needed Jesus. I didn't care who thought, I didn't care what anybody else thought about it. I wasn't ashamed at all. I'd finally come to the realization that if I continued on in the life that I was living, I was going to be dead, burning in hell. God doesn't want that for your life. He's come to give you life. To breathe into you. And to give you life more abundantly. So this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. Preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get up out of your seat. We ain't going to do it. I'm right here down front. People got their heads bowed. Eyes are closed. But I'm right down front. I want to help you this morning if you'll let me do so. God wants to give you life. And he wants to give it more abundantly. Say, preacher, I'm going to have to give up this. Preacher, I'm going to have to give up that. But he's going to give you life more abundantly. Miss Michelle, come on down if you will. Who else? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around right now. You tired of it? Won't you come on? Come on. Thief's trying to destroy you. And if you're thinking that you can fight him by yourself, I want you to know there's not one thing. You don't have the power to do that. You're going to need God. How about this morning? We nailed this thing down. You leave out of here knowing Jesus. You leave out of here with somebody fighting for you. Yeah. Is anybody else? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Oh God, you spoke to me this morning. I thank you for love. And Lord, I've seen that thing. We practiced it 100 times. But God, you spoke. You ministered to my heart through it. Lord, I can look back on my life and all of that. And I can see the enemy, the thief, over and over again, using every tactic possible to get me away from you. Oh God, how sweet it is to know that in the middle of my stupidity, in the middle of my rebellion, God, you were standing in the shadows, Lord, fighting for me, pulling me, desiring a relationship with me. Lord, I pray this morning, everybody and under the sound of my voice will know, God, that you're fighting for them. Lord, I pray we leave out of here with our hearts settled, our mind settled, our soul, our eternity settled. Lord, I pray we leave out of here knowing, God, how much you love us. Lord, thank you. I thank you for every person that gave up their time to practice this. The effort, Lord, the practice over and over again, the long nights. Lord, that they could be a blessing to us. Lord, I pray that you'd be a blessing to them. Lord, continue to work this morning. As we leave and go our separate ways, continue to work on our hearts, and God will give you all the honor and glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.